Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever episode of the RCCG Praise Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode through whatever platforms you're watching this. If you're watching this on YouTube or on Facebook, be sure to leave a like, comment, and subscribe for more videos and podcasts like this. We hope you enjoy your day. We're so glad to be We hope you enjoy your day. We're so glad you took the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. And let's get right back to the show.
We're standing on of your holy name, Lord, we bow in worship you. Holy Lord, holy are you, Lord, all creation call you, Lord, worthy is your name. We worship your majesty. Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. We're standing on of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Lord, we bow and worship you. Lord, we bow and worship you. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we glorify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we glorify your name. For you are great, you to me so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Hello, my name is Deji Adeleke, and here with me is...
My name is Kane Diolanipepe.
Hello, guys, and my name is Albright Uba, and today we will be discussing...
Marital blows.
Marital blows. So, I personally don't know how you guys are going to go about this, but let's go ahead and tackle this topic.
Alright, so we're going to start with a memory verse which is taken from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 14. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 14, it says, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? That's Malachi, chapter 3, verse 14. And we are also going to read a Bible passage which is taken from the same book of Malachi, and that will be chapter 2 from verse 13 to verse 17, and verse 13 to 17.
Yes. All right. So what I have here is, this is another thing you do. You drown the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and wailing because he no longer accepts the offerings you bring him. You ask why he no longer accepts them. It is because he knows you have broken your promise to the wife you married when you were young. She was your partner and you have broken your promise to her. Although you promised before God that you would be faithful to her, didn't God make you one body and spirit with her? What was his purpose in this? It was that you should have children who are truly God's people. So make sure that none of you break his promise to his wife. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. I hate it when one of you does such a cruel thing to his wife. Make sure that you do not break your promise to be faithful to your wife. And you want me to go read 7?
17.
All right, 17. The day of judgment is near. You have tired the Lord out with your talk. But you ask, how have we tired him? We say, the Lord Almighty thinks all evildoers are good. In fact, like he likes them. Or by asking, where is God who is supposed to be just?
Thank you. May the Lord bless his word in our hands in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Like Tyler says, we are looking at some of the issues in marriage that causes, you know, marriages to fall apart. That is what we are going to be looking at and discussing in detail this morning. I'm just going to read, you know, a brief overview or introduction here. We'll say marriage brings out the best and the worst in most people as two separate individuals struggle to live as one flesh. We know, the marriage consists of two different people with two different backgrounds that come together as one, as the scripture has said, and because of these two different separate entities and backgrounds, there's bound to be, you know, conflict because of the differences of opinion and, you know, upbringing. In marriage, it is never easy to face marital problems and deal with the pains and wounds that have been inflicted. You know, we see a lot of people who have, you know, a lot of issues in their marriages, and they carry it all over with them everywhere they go. You can literally see it written upon them or over them, you know, what they are going through in their various marriages. Now, we are going to be discussing, you know, some of those issues that can result in conflict in marriages, and, you know, how as couples we can handle these issues. So, what are some of those things that can result in marital conflict? I think Pastor can help us with some of those.
Yeah, because like you said from the lesson introduction, there are quite a number of things that can result in conflict, disagreements in marriages that can make marriages to fall apart. Though it is not the will of God that marriage to fall apart, because it's between, as God instituted, and what we believe and what our faith stands in is between a man and a woman, not for boys, not for girls, not for people that are not mature, people that can withstand the test of time, because for every home there is a test of time, a time when there will be no money, a time where there will be no job, a time when there will be crisis here and there, a time when the children, if you have had the children, will give parents challenges. So if those things comes up and one is about to give up or to cut, to say I'm quitting, that's not the purpose of God. Those things are bound to happen, and that's why it's for mature people. So what are the things that can make those things to happen? You know, like we have, because we're going to be strictly looking at our manual, we are not going to be taking anything out of the manual, you know, because of our limited time. Number one thing that we have on our manual is wrong foundation. Wrong foundation. If you can read Psalm 11 verse 3 for us, Psalm 11 verse 3, let's see what the scripture is saying concerning wrong foundation, and we're going to discuss one or two things that we can refer to as wrong foundation. Yes.
Alright, you said Psalm 11 verse 3.
Psalm 11
right?
verse 3, yes.
Alright, okay. There is nothing a good person can do when everything falls apart. Mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously I haven't been married yet. That's for a future discussion. I haven't been married yet, but I've been in certain types of relationships because I'm at that age in life where I'm trying to look forward to find a stability in life, to find a place to settle down and whatnot. In my quote-unquote limited experience, I've noticed that you're obviously both coming from different backgrounds. You were both raised differently. It's two different people trying to mend their life together, trying to be one thing and making the big decision that you're the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. You're the person I don't care about anybody else. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I want to follow God with you. And that's a big decision to make. What the different problems I've had in the past with that kind of decision is that I'm at that stage in life where a lot of things are rocky. There's no foundation, like you said, that specific foundation. There's a foundation in personality-wise, but in emotional, there's just, you need that support. You need somebody to be there with you, to support you through all your different times and whatnot. That quote-unquote partner is the one who's going to support you. What happens when that partner is not able to support you and let's say you're going through some financial instability, you're having trouble at work and stuff like that, and you have nowhere else to let out that anger, you know, because it's always just constantly frustration. Now you come home, let's say your wife is still cooking, and she hasn't been done cooking, and in your mind you're just pissed off, you just want to eat, you just want to go to bed, and she's trying to watch a movie with you, or she's trying to do something with you, and you take out your anger at her accidentally. Now this is something that happens repeatedly because where you're from, nobody deals with your anger, nobody is helping you out, but this is somebody, she comes from a household where they deal with problems like these. You're not very good at dealing with your problems, and you let out your anger at her and things like that. How do you go about that?
It's an interesting question. I think one of the ways of dealing with it is it's very important to understand that, like Pastor said earlier, marriage is not for boys, it's for men.
I feel personally attacked here.
Well, I don't feel that way. Okay. Now, there is some emotional maturity that has...
And it's not talking about age when it comes
It has to do with your emotional maturity now.
Okay.
You cannot expect to say, okay, I need somebody to be happy. Mm-hmm. No. You should be able to project your feelings in terms of your happy feelings, your happy mood should be infectious with other people. Now, if you don't get it, you know, from people, that's fine as well. But you have to be able to know that, you know, you don't project your negative feelings on others. You have to be able to control, that's what I'm looking for. You have to be able to control your emotion. Don't let your emotion get the better of you. Even if it's not a marriage, you know, you don't go to work because you're having issues at home. You don't go to work and go and transfer your aggressions on your co-workers. You know, the outcome will not be good. So the same way, you don't bring those issues you are dealing with or you dealt with at work and bring it into your marriage. You have to learn to drop it at the door. You know, and also, of course, you know, as couple, we have to understand each other. We have to be able to read each other. You know, we'll talk more about reading each other and understanding each other in the lesson as well.
Yeah, in the area of, you know, wrong foundation, we are basically talking about, you know, how did you get married? What's the source of the foundation? For example, if you're a believer, you are not expected to go and marry unbeliever. You know, because the level of your perseverance, the level of your understanding is going to be different completely. Somebody might believe in negativity. You are coming from where you believe in what? Positivity, that, you know, with God, all things are possible, even if things look odd. All your thing is still with God, all things are possible. For you, if you now go ahead to go and marry a non-believer that is not of your faith, that doesn't even believe this, your all things with God, all things are possible, then that foundation is already wrong. That's where we're coming from.
What if you're marrying, you plan on marrying, you actually do love them and stuff like that, and you try to, you're trying to bring them towards God.
The most important thing is you have to, you have to start with that good foundation, which is planted in Christ as a believer. You see that you can't build anybody. Salvation, for example, I always say salvation is a personal thing. You know, your father cannot save you. Your partner cannot save you. The only person that offers salvation is Jesus and through his blood. So if that person comes to Christ through the knowledge of Christ, to handle issues of life will be quite different because it is Jesus himself that revealed himself to him or her. So it's a different thing. It's just like my brother here. I can't give him some salvation no matter how close we are. He cannot give his wife salvation. So the salvation must have happened even before they comes together. So that's why it's not good for a believer to say, I want to marry an unbeliever at all costs, because there are consequences for every actions. It's very important. There's a difference between both our unbelievers. There's a difference between believers and unbelievers. That's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6, from verse 14 to 16, it said we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It said, what has that light has to do with darkness? So, you look at it, before God created the whole world, God first of all established that darkness was not in existence. You know, he asked us, the Bible says, the heart was without form, everywhere was dark, this and God said, let there be light. So light is very important in every decision. There is a place of light, there is a place of darkness. So it's very important, as children of light, we must always be looking for children of light.
Amen. The other point here is infidelity of either or both partners. I think that's probably self-explanatory,
infidelity. Yeah, we can say one or two things.
Yeah.
Infidelity means cheating, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When
you are, you know, doing something different, you know, when you're supposed to stick to the one that God has given to you, then you are still looking outside.
Yes.
That's one
okay.
of the things that
okay.
can make cause trouble in a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's of course one of the.
And then to back it up there, for people that are, you know, listening to us, you can look at Proverbs chapter 5 from verse 15 to 20, and Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 9 too. For, you know, for people that are watching us, they can look at that, because we are trying to, talk on those points. We believe as you listen to us, when you go back, then you'll be able to build on it, because we believe it's the Holy Spirit that can interpret everything. We cannot discuss everything here. The little experiences that we have as a married man, you know, and a married couple, that's what we are trying to share and bring in with the word of God and back it up. So we just believe that the Holy Spirit will interpret the rest for as many that are listening to us.
Secrecy. How does secrecy bring marital blows?
That's huge. That one is very, very huge. Because my principle, let me just bring it this way. My principle is whatsoever God has joined together, like the scripture says, you know, they are one. If he says they are one, I believe everything has to be, you know, done in oneness. But people used to say that if one party is somebody, maybe like your husband is, you know, spend too much, and the wife is like, we don't conserve some things. Maybe the wife is trying to keep something somewhere for the sake of the children. To me, I don't see it. Well, I don't know whether it's secrecy or... I don't see that one as secrecy.
Okay.
It's when you are doing something that you know, if your husband or your partner knows, is going to cause trouble. For you doing something because of your children, I don't think that one is secrecy. But when you are doing something that, at the end of the day, they can make this woman to pack away from you, or can hurt her. And then when you do it, deep inside of you, your conscience is telling you that what you are doing is not right, it's not good. And then you are like, no, it's me, and just me, that's who I am. So it, that's the crazy.
Okay. So what I initially thought when he meant secrecy was, in a general term, as in like, she has her own things, you have your own things. Let's say for like bank accounts, for example, right? Like when I was thinking secrecy, I was thinking two lives coming together. She has her own bank account, you have your own bank account. You want to buy some furniture for the store or whatever, and she, would you want to like share the same bank account, or how is it going to be because you're bringing two lives together? And also, I think it gets in the way of individuality too, because let's say you both go to church, and you both have a mutual friend. Now the mutual friend trusts to tell her a personal problem, mm-hmm. and he tells her, and now you're both, you and her at home, and you ask her, so what did this friend tell you? I want to know if I could help. And she says that, no, it's a secret between me and him. I just want to keep it like that.
No, that's not good for a couple.
Yeah, okay.
That's, it's never good for a couple. See, so, no matter what somebody tells you as a couple, maybe a friend, see, you must be able to confide in your husband or wife. You know why? Because two are better than one. There are some contributions that your wife might have. It's not that it's going to be an agreement between the third party must not hear. It's, if it goes out between the two of you, that's a problem.
Yes, okay.
In that relationship.
All right.
There are many things that myself and my wife should not share with me. She will share with me. If it goes out, are you getting me?
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem with me. Okay, so I'm trying to scatter my home because people will look down on my wife. We have to get to that level where we keep, you know, because one way or the other, it can get overwhelmed for that kind of woman or a man, that it will become a big thing that I will not be able to handle. So you have to share some things. It might not be in details. This pam pam. This what this person. This, can we be praying for this person? It's not that you're going to call your husband and say, oh, she told me this, she told me that, she told me this. She just give a kind of, you know, outline that will make the man to understand, how can we pray for this? We have been in that situation, you know. Sister needs prayer. This is the area where she needs the prayer. And my wife will use a case that they have discussed to raise a prayer point, which is the most important thing, and that's the most efficacy way of handling situation, not at home. You know, because one way or the other, your husband might be on the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
It might not even be a pastor, might be a brother in the church, might be on the pulpit, and is giving a kind of examples that related to that case.
Mm-hmm.
So you not giving your husband the proper knowledge, mm-hmm. is going to be a problem and see you have discussed that person's case with your husband, and that person that is in the church will be thinking, oh, look at this woman, and now they are using my case to preach. So that's, it's very important, so that it has a knowledge, it has, you know, a kind of, that one will motivate him. Even if he had a word of prophecy, he will try to use the wisdom of God to bring the prophecy out.
So there should be some kind of shared knowledge, like a
shared knowledge.
Shared
yes.
knowledge, yes.
Shared
there shouldn't be one thing that one person knows that the other person doesn't know yet. So if somebody tries to confine to your wife or your husband, they should respect the fact that you have a wife or husband that you're going to go to and that you share everything with.
Mm-hmm.
They should have the pre-knowledge of that before confining.
That's like someone years ago,
before
we moved to this place, you know, this is our building. There's a lady, we are trying to help her. She just gave her life to Christ when we were in our place, one of the programs we are doing. She has a lot of anger issues. So she was like, she wanted me to be her spiritual father. A lady. It's good, you know, when you have a request. And I said, well, if I'm going to meet you, or we're going to have to sit down together, I will love my wife to be there. But
right.
she said, no. And I said, well, if my wife is not going to be there, I don't think that would be a good thing. So, you know, you, and that one, she pushed away because I said, my wife has to be there. You know, I can't, because, you know, anything can happen where you and a woman is sitting down, you know. Even if you don't do anything, you don't know what she's going to tell other people. So in even the kind of country where we are, that you believe women, you know, more than, you know, when it comes to some circumstances, women takes the lead. So, but all the same, you have to protect yourself. You don't do it out of ignorance.
Yes.
And say, oh yeah, I have to stay. No, No. There are some cases, there are some places you go, your wife must be there.
Right.
Even if you are not a pastor, even if you are just, you know, a child of God, there are some things you do, your wife must be sitting beside you. You know, sometimes if you want to go, you know, angry, it might be just your wife patting you or telling, you know, just shaking your leg that will make you to calm down. And you get what I'm saying? So that's the power of two. And that's why it's good to share.
Thank you, sir. There are questions I have regarding this issue of secrecy, but because of our time, I think we'll probably have another opportunity to go into detail, because this is an issue that, I mean, it causes a lot of, this is something that causes a lot of issues in a lot of marriages. We've had stories of, you know, husband who were angry because they found out that their wife is building a house behind your back and things like that. You know, there are cases like that all over the place. I mean, but because of our time, you know, some of that time
we'll, we can save this for a different topic. Because I know I have several relationship questions.
Exactly.
Yeah, before I go into one, I have so many questions I want to go into. So.
You are the pillar that holds my life. You are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. 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 Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. You are.
Sorry about that weird cut, guys. I noticed that one of the cameras wasn't recording at the time. That's going to be fixed during the editing. But yes, keep going with your teaching. Sorry.
All right.
So we're reading Philippians chapter...
We're reading chapter 4, verse 6 to 7.
Okay. Should I read it or are you guys
read? You can read it if you have it.
Don't worry about anything, but in all prayers, ask God for what you need. Always asking him with a thankful.
Ephesians. Ephesians
4. Oh, I'm in Philippians.
Ephesians 4, 6 to 7.
Ephesians 4, 6 to 7. All right, okay. There is one God and Father of all, who is Lord of all, works through all, and is in all. And, Each one of us has received a special gift in proportion to what Christ has given. And that's
I'm going to read 19. He says, 19 says, who being past feeling has given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. So we're talking about emotional withdrawal after a disagreement or grudges. You know, well, it's not healthy. Let's put it like that for believers, because it's a loophole for the devil to come in.
What does emotional withdrawal mean?
Yeah, emotion. Everybody has an emotion.
Right.
You know, trying to avoid. Uh-huh. When there's agreement, when you see that person, your emotion just rises up. You feel like, you feel angry, you know. You don't want to have anything to do with that person because of the disagreement that is between the two of you.
Okay.
That's devil in action at that moment. Uh-huh. And that's the area devil normally wanted to, you know, come in. Mm-hmm. You know, any little disagreement can make the devil to come in anytime, because he's always looking for loopholes in our marriages. So if there is emotional withdrawal, it should be something that we can resolve, how will I put it now? Not too long.
Mm-hmm. You know,
take it out. Yeah, it might be painful, but that's why you are a married person. That's why you are in the marriage, because there is no way you can rule out situations that will cause emotional withdrawal. But you must be able to stand it, because it's part of a test of time. We must be able to deal with that emotion, no matter how awful that is. Though I know it's very hard. It's very hard. It's very hard. Some people will say it's not possible. But you know, the Bible says, he said, look at what he says now. He said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, if you read from verse 5, it says, one God and one Father of all, you know. And then, who is above all? So, God is above our emotion.
Okay.
So, I always say that, okay, with all the bad things we do, mm-hmm. we still come back to God. He still have mercy on us. God has emotion.
Okay.
That's why Christ cried for us. Mm-hmm. You know? That's why Jesus has gone to go and sit beside the Father and was interceding on our behalf, because he's emotional troubled, that he wants us to come back to the Father. And that's why every time we sing, God still brings us back. We hurt his feelings, we hurt his emotion every time we go into sin. So if God can, you know, bring us back when we hurt his own emotion by sinning, so definitely we should be able to forgive one another when we hurt our emotions. We can't do that one out. Even if you are best of friends, it will happen. So, but dealing with it at that time, not allowing it to linger for a long, long time. Some people, 6 months. We hear in Nigeria that we say a wife denied the husband, you know, emotional intimacy for 1 year.
Wow.
Yes. So, wow. So you know, 1 year, even a day is getting too much, because one, it's going to affect your children.
Okay. Yeah.
You won't be able to pray together. There's no amount of prayer you pray that time. You are not praying in one accord. So it's very important for us to settle whatever disagreement
right.
as quickly as possible, irrespective of what is going on.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, sir. The next one is unreasonable demand.
Mm.
Unreasonable demand. What are some unreasonable demands that couples make of each other that can result in marital disagreements?
I feel like that unreasonable is a very uneven term, because you know what may be reasonable. Let's say you're from two different countries.
Mm-hmm.
What may be reasonable in your culture would be something like you cook at a specific time of the day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And to her, that's unreasonable because she eats at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
not 4 8 p.m. You know, just I mean, unreasonable is a little broad. What do
my
you mean
food has to be on the table at so time.
Yeah, and from her culture, it's men who cook instead of women. You know, just unreasonable is different. How do you describe that?
It still falls under. Time unreasonable, because you know it's reasonable to you, but it might not be reasonable to your partner.
Oh, okay.
You
okay.
know, so still, it's still unreasonable.
So how do you solve that?
Yeah.
Whole?
So it has to deal with understanding of each partner. You know, understanding your individual background. Even if you are from the same culture,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you come
mm-hmm.
from different family. For instance, let me give you an example. Though you know that's a minor one, but. I like my beans cooked in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife likes her beans cooked in a different way, but I want my her to cook my beans the way I like it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I mean, if care is not taken, that could, you know, mm-hmm. lead to issues. And there are different things like that. I once talked to a friend. He said when he newly got married, you know, he likes to sleep with the light off. The wife likes to sleep with the light on.
Oh wow!
So you know, of course, it was kind of hard in the beginning, but somebody had to give in to the other person at the end of the day. So he had to learn to sleep with the light on after a while. You know, so you know, this is why we say marriage is a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. But if the understanding is not there, it could cause issue. Now, the extreme side of it is, you, like the example Pastor gave the other time, you just like to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
Your partner likes to, is the type that wants to account for every little penny.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, and, you know, everything, let's say you like cars. I like cars. I like electronics. You know, I just go out there and whatever new electronics is out there, you know, I want it. Now, on the side of the woman, they too, they have things they like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wants that bag, she wants that shoe, she wants, you know, as many, and she can keep buying. So it can get to a point where, you know, the husband just feels like, this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other things that we need money for. Why should we be, you know, spending money on these things that do not add value to us? So it happens in relationship, and you know, couples just have to sit down and talk and understand what are their priorities. So that is the important thing in
yeah, set, yeah, like yeah, said it, setting priority is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, two are better than one. You know, communication is what will make all these issues to be, you know,
yeah,
addressed.
Yes.
Because it's two different things. My background is different from my wife's background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, completely different. How I grew up, you know, it's just different. But we with time, we began to understand that we can't be making unreasonable demand of ourselves. So we have to bring it to the table and see how we can balance things up. So balancing it is most important. Because if you don't want, for example, some men will say, like I said, my food has to be on the table,
mm-hmm.
has also time. He never considered the children has to be taken care of too.
Mm-hmm.
So if that same woman is the one that's, you are not going to help him, because there are some men, they don't even help out in anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the same woman will be in the kitchen, the same woman when the baby or whatever poop in his diaper, or they still want that woman to leave the kitchen. Why I cross my leg in the living room watching football or soccer or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, not trying to do something. So, and you still want that woman to bring that food to the table,
mm-hmm.
at the time you expected it. So those are unreasonable demands, things like that. Unreasonable. Oh, no. It's very important for you to be able, you have to participate if things must work out well.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Next one is...
And then let's give that Bible passage for our viewer.
Yes,
Philippians
4,
6 to 7. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Let me just read 6 to 7. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Yeah. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I think it's very important.
Yes.
Be careful for nothing. Allow Christ to just take it away so that you may not be able to make unreasonable demand for one another. Yes. I think the next point is fault finders. I think that one is easy. Fault finders, you know. I think I said that one last week too.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about fault finders. You ask, if anything happens and we already apologizes and said, I'm sorry, and then you still keep it and still repeating it over and over and over,
mm-hmm.
when any other things happen, you are still a fault finder. I don't know. We are bound to make mistakes. There's no need for you to be keeping those things and say, you did this last time. You did that last time. You did it. This, you know, they're just looking. There are some men or women that only what they are looking for, the target is how you go to determine the fault so that they will have something to capitalize on to be able to restrict themselves or give that woman an emotional or that man an emotional trouble, you know, fault. That fault is what they are looking for. So if you are the type that is doing that, there's tendency for your marriage to hit the rock. So it's not good as a child of God. You must not be looking for a fault. Yes. You must be able to blend it. You know, we can't rule out mistakes. Two, I think it's Philippians 2, verse 3, they said, and I entreat thee also, through yoke fellow, help those women which labors with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with others, two, three. Oh, sorry, I'm reading 4:2. 2:3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in what? In lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That's what the scripture says. I don't know what your version says. Philippians 2:3.
Okay, Philippians 2:3. Verse 3. Mm-hmm. Right here, what I have is, don't do anything from selfish ambition or mm-hmm. from a cheap desire to boast, mm-hmm. but be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourselves.
That is very important. Considering other better. It doesn't matter the kind of degree or the education you have had that you are bringing into the home. You must see the other partner, you know, better than you. Some women, some men might not be able to talk the way you are talking, but still, the Bible is telling us that we must esteem, you know, see that person as better than you, even anywhere we find ourselves. So it's in that when you see people that are better than you, that's when we can live together and be, you know, not looking at fault every time.
Amen.
Next one is engaging third party to settle quarrels.
Very important. Mm. Very important. Very important.
Bringing other people into the relationship.
Yes. Bringing other people.
I feel like that's a dangerous thing to do.
Huh?
I feel like that's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, it's risky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It goes on a whole lot in relationships.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. You know, you have friends that you grew up together, that, you know, you've been friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You still want to bring your issues of the relationship into discuss it with your friends and, you know, and so on and so forth.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, let's say you're not trying to have them come in to settle let's say you and your wife had a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to bring the friend in to settle the argument or something like that. You had a fight with your wife and now you're thinking about the fight. Let's say it was last night. You're thinking
mm-hmm.
about the fight and you're thinking about it and you're hanging out with your friend. You're going on a project or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking about it and then you trying to get an outside perspective of it
mm-hmm.
to see if perhaps you were in the wrong. So you can properly apologize because you're trying to consider that maybe you're not always right. So you want to see an outside perspective. So you're trying to ask the friend for outside perspective and a third person point of view.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about that?
Yeah, in that case, you have to apply wisdom.
Yeah.
You have to be careful how you present the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might just, you know, ask like a question.
Mm-hmm.
Put it across like a question, not that you bring out the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the friend that you are talking to, you don't know what goes on in his house. So.
Right.
You don't know what goes on around in his mind, you know. You don't know the kind of advice he's going to give to you. So if it is what you're going to buy or not. So you just have to put it in a question format. There are some of us that have asked questions during Sunday school that really, these are issues that we ourselves are dealing with.
Yes.
But we use it in a form of question so that we can get, you know, the right answer. And by the time everybody is done, you know, contributing, we're able to pick what we need to do there. So it's very important. Not every time you go out and say, "Plap, plap, this is what my wife did. Plap, this is what my wife did." No.
Yeah.
It's not ideal and it's not healthy for that home. So whatever happens in your home should be able to, you know, you should be able to undo some things. Even to your parents. It's not everything that goes to your parents. No. No. Bible says two will become one. A man will leave his wife and he will leave his father and his mother. He will cleave to his wife. There are positions of parent, there are positions of husband and wife. The role that your parent will play in your home is to give you advice, you know, on future things and, you know, advice in general. You like, you take it, you like, you don't take it. So, but not to the extent that you see some men, any little thing happen between them and their wife, boom, their mom or their dad. But you see some women, anything, little thing happens, boom, they have gone to their mom. You see, I've had a lot of people that they don't even have regard for the husband or that of their children. No, which is not good. It's not ready for your home. That man is only going to push you aside and say, oh, it's you and your mother. No, it's not good. So there is a position. There's a position. There are things they can do. There are places they have a limit to when it comes to your home. It's not that they are not your parent. There is a limit, that's what they can do. For example, I have people that take permission from you. It's not that it's wrong. This is your home. You know, they regard it, if they truly love you, they regard it and they take permission. So, okay, can I do this? You know, it's, imagine your mother-in-law, your friend, asking you to say you wanted to, can your wife help me? Mm-hmm. It's not that that woman cannot say, I want my daughter to help me. Mm-hmm. But because that woman respects you as a husband, mm-hmm. yeah, because it's even older than you, mm-hmm. and it felt okay, I had to respect, and that one commands respect. You too, you have to respect back. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that everybody takes their position in home. It's very important.
So how does marriage counseling comes into this?
And that's the last point I want to make. You
okay.
know, when you want to, I think that's the important one to take note of in this particular topic.
Okay.
You have to know the spiritual understanding of the person that you are going to be discussing your issue with.
Yeah.
You have to understand that people cannot give what they don't have.
Yeah.
So if you have that understanding, okay, so you want to take, like I tell people, for instance, when they come to me for career counseling, I tell them, if you want to go in a career direction, you go and talk to somebody who is in that career
mm-hmm.
and who is successful
mm-hmm. right.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go and talk to somebody who is in it but is not successful in it.
Right.
And you don't go and talk to somebody who is not even in that career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you want to talk, get relationship advice, go to someone
know the history,
yes.
you know that they are successful.
He is successful in his own.
You know their children, you know what their home is. Not that the father is talking and the son or daughter
mm-hmm.
is saying, keep your mouth shut. And not the person that just, you know, his son carried gun and wanted to shoot him. And then you went to go and be taking counsel from
yeah.
that kind of person. So it's very important for us to know who and who, because there are successful marriage counselors. It's just like when you see successful pastors, successful ministers, successful leaders that you call they are your spiritual fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just make somebody that is not successful your spiritual father.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like mentors.
Mm-hmm.
All of us that are seated there, we have mentors.
Mm-hmm.
We look at their life before we can call them
mm-hmm.
our mentor. So you don't just make somebody that is not even moving from the level he has been for years,
mm-hmm.
your mentor. You want to be in the same level too. So it's very important. So that's marriage counseling. You can't go to somebody that have never been into it. No. That read it in the book. No. It must be a practical. It must have the practical experience. He has been there. He has seen it all. It's beyond books. Counseling is beyond book. Yeah, it's beyond book. You might be a married counselor and then you are not living it. Yeah. You don't have home. You don't have husband. There's a difference between a marriage counselor that has lost the husband or a marriage counselor that has lost the wife than a marriage counselor that doesn't have a hope, doesn't have a home in general. Let's put it like that.
And there are people who have lost their relationship to their friends. Women have lost their relationship, their husbands to their friends,
mm-hmm.
because they say they go and tell their friend, oh, my husband is doing this. They think their friend is looking out for them, but you know, the advice a friend is giving is for the marriage to
so
break
that
off,
she can
take
position.
And
she
takes over.
Yeah.
The moment, you know, everything breaks apart. And that's why you have to be careful, you know, who you discuss your issues with. Some Bible passages, 1 Corinthians
6:5-6
and James 5:16.
16.
Laziness. Laziness, we all know what
laziness is.
Means.
I don't think we need to express
so
much about that.
You know, much about that. You know,
and
if the husband is lazy or
the wife is lazy,
you know, we can always
cause. A woman has to be up and doing,
yes.
likewise, husband
a
has to be up
has
and doing.
Really
everybody, so that the children you can provide for the children.
Yes, and of course the children are watching as well.
Yeah, they pick from whatever we do.
See, yeah.
Okay.
So stinginess is another one. Proverbs 31:10-12. You can quickly read. Stinginess. How does that? How do you separate stinginess from thriftiness?
What is thriftiness?
Thriftiness.
What is that? I know stinginess. I don't know thriftiness.
What is stinginess? Okay, what is stinginess?
Stinginess would be keeping something to yourself, avoiding something. Let's say you come into a marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your partner is trying to get a good example. Okay. Your partner you set up the furniture, you set up the room and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you work from home, right? And you have a laptop that you used to work from home. It has all your personal stuff. You have it the way you like it set up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like people touching it or whatever. Now your spouse does not have a laptop. And they're asking, you're not working at the time. They're asking, hey, can I borrow it, whatever. You are being stingy because you don't like anybody touching your thing. You
let
want it to be specific.
Let me put it like that. I see singular as you have nothing to contribute.
Selfishness.
You are selfish.
Oh,
you have not, no matter what, you have nothing to contribute to the whole.
Keeping everything to yourself.
You are just keep everything. Okay, for example, it's all about you. Everything is all about you. You buy new shoes. You buy everything for yourself. When your wife comes in and say, we need money for this, you say, you have something to say. But yet, you are spending money on some other things. So it's all about you. You don't consider others. Even your children, you don't consider it. You know? There's some parents that, okay, your children need clothes. You say it's the responsibility of the mother.
Right. Okay.
Or your children need shoes. You say it's the responsibility of the father. No. It's the responsibility of both. Yeah?
Okay.
Doesn't have to be on one person. You know? Or your wife needs something, say, you two, you are working now. We are both working. No, for the fact that your wife is working, that doesn't mean that she should not ask something from you.
Right.
You know, it should not be all about you. Or maybe you go out, you went outside, you bought things for, maybe you have your parents around or whatever. You bought things for you and your parents, you didn't buy for your wife. Or you didn't buy for your children. That's not very good. You must put all of them into consideration. It's better you don't buy at all. Or you buy for them, you don't buy for yourself. So you have to, everybody has to be in the picture.
Okay.
If you want to take stinginess out of our life, everybody has to be in the picture. Because some people, even if you have your wife is making money than you, that doesn't mean you have to be stingy with what you have, because you think she's making money than you. So you still have to share, love to share. So it's very important.
Do we have another topic we're going to, because we're already 40 minutes into this already.
That's
all of this right now is already 40 minutes. Is there another one we're doing again?
We're rounding up.
No, I mean so is this entire podcast, are we continuing more? Is there more we're going to?
Message.
How long is that one going to be? Because this is already almost an hour already that we're doing right
I'll
now.
I'll make this one as short as I
do. Okay.
I thought you said
we
had 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
Two hours podcast? I mean, if people want
to
listen to it.
People edit it now.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's just, there's not a lot to edit.
Let's just go.
If people want to listen to a 2-hour podcast, I guess
Let's just go through the solution. All right,
so yes. So, the reason I mentioned stinginess versus thriftiness is because people confuse it too.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, Okay, let me give an example. I said it the other day that there's a difference between, I said it during a discussion that there's a difference between your need and your want.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as individuals, because of our different background, some of us are not trained to understand that there's a difference between the need and the want.
Mm.
But, you know, along the line, some of us understood it.
Mm.
You know, before you spend your money on something, you ask yourself the question, do I really need this? Or is this just something that I want? You know, just to feel good at that particular point in time. You know, so when you come to a relationship, one partner has the understanding of the need the difference between the need and the want. So when the other partner says, oh, we should get this thing, and that person looks at it and says, do we really need it? And realizes they don't really need it. And he said, well, you know, that is not in my budget or is not in my plan. Some couple or some partner might misinterpret that as the other person being stingy, mm-hmm. whereas the person is just being thrifty to conserve resources to make mm-hmm. sure that they are not spending on things
that are not needed.
That are not needed. Because if you spend on things, okay, look at now. I was telling my wife the other day that, you know, see the decision I made some times back. Uh-huh. Look at what the economy has suddenly turned into now. If one does not, you know, have splashed or spent or wasted resources on certain things, on those things, and not cut back, you know, you would have been caught unawares with what is going on in the system.
Because the system caught everybody.
Yeah, unaware. Okay. Nobody planned that things would just suddenly happen.
You don't plan that children is going to sit at home.
At home.
You think that they will be in school.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have money to feed them in the morning, feed them in the afternoon, not to couple with all the snacks they are going to eat in between.
Which school we always provide. So, you know, you spend more now. So, you know, most people misunderstand stinginess and thriftiness. Thriftiness means you are trying to manage the little that you have so that it can go further. You know, not spending money on things that are unnecessary.
Okay.
Whereas stinginess means, you know, you are spending the money, but you are just being selfish.
Just yourself, selfish.
Okay.
So that's the understanding. So, I mean, that's the last one is a big issue. Pastor already mentioned it's sexual with defraud, you know, from either of the partners. So it's a serious issue. You know, we've already talked about the solution as we are talking about each of the issues. So, but there are different Bible passages as well that we can always reference as.
You can mention those ones quickly so that.
Okay.
They can go, people can go through it on their time, those Bible passages.
All right. How to make the relationship
better
still. Malachi 2:16, which we've already read, so, Romans 7:2-3, James 5:16, 1 John 1:9, Acts 5:29, John 12:48, 1 Timothy 2:1. James 5:16, then Philippians 2:3, 1 Peter 3:7, Colossians chapter 3:13, Proverbs chapter 15:1, Ephesians chapter 4:15, 1 Corinthians chapter 7:2-3. So those are some of the Bible passages that we can read. And I pray that as we read the Lord, we open our hearts of understanding in Jesus' name.
All right, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. From those of you who are listening at home, we're on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. For those of you who are watching the video audio for YouTube or Facebook, wherever you're watching, we do appreciate you guys for joining us in today's segment. I'm Albright, your host, and yes, we appreciate you guys. Make sure to stick around. Be sure to repeat it over and again, and the Bible passages that we said, be sure to look over it. We hope that God be with you as you go on as your separate ways. We're in a very serious time of crisis right now at the time of recording this video. We do wish you well at home. Stay safe and stay happy. God bless you.
God bless you.
Worship you. Oh, praise up. That is what I love to do, and I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship, Lord, I worship you. Almighty God, there is none like you, there is none.